Right, I was praying about what to sing, and the Holy Spirit said to sing. The Holy Spirit, my wife, said to sing. I've been singing off the 20th year anniversary CD, and everybody's been buying that one. Said the new CD is left, and the second to newest, so I'll sing some off of that. And I sang this one Sunday morning about the Chinese lady who Brother Mays Jackson took a tour of people to Israel, and they were all griping and complaining about the food and the water and the beds weren't like home. But this one little Chinese lady was praising God when she got to the tomb especially. And so he thought I'll get her testimony, and he asked her about how she was saved. And she said, I worshiped these little idols for years, but they never spoke to me, never walked with me. And one day her husband came home and said, I went to church today and heard there's a living God. And she got all excited, went to hear about the living God because she's tired of the little dead one. And got saved, came home, and she took her idol and said, you have eyes, but you've never seen me, ears, you've never heard me, lips, you've never spoken to me. And she threw her idols in the trash and said, now I have a God that walks with me. Oh, blessed thought, he walks with me.
For years she worshipped idols, though they never answered prayer. Having eyes they could not see and ears that couldn't hear. Having legs they could not walk, having lips they could not talk. She never uttered a word to calm her fears. Then she heard about a God who arose from the grave, who had ears to hear her prayers and power to save. She threw away her idols, opened up the Bible. Now Jesus walks beside her every day. Oh, blessed thought, he walks with me. I can feel his hand and mine. Wherever he may lead me, we have fellowship divine. And though I often get distracted, and I'm prone to stumble and fall, he holds me up with his strong hand and helps me to stand tall. And by his side I'll ever be. Oh, blessed thought, he walks with me. He appeared to Mary at the tomb and dried her bitter tears. He came walking on the sea and come their raging fears. Came to John in his solitude, fed the hungry multitudes. When his children need him, he's always there. Oh, blessed thought, he walks with me. I can feel his hand and mine. Wherever he may lead me, we have fellowship divine. And though I often get distracted, and I'm prone to stumble and fall, he holds me up with his strong hand and helps me to stand tall. And by his side I'll ever be. Oh, blessed thought, he walks with me. He walks with me.
Here's one. He's so much God, so much man, he can feel your pain. So much God, he can heal your pain. Amen.
Who was that babe born in Bethlehem? They laid him in a manger. There was no room in the inn. He was born of a virgin. He was God's only son. The angels shouted in the night that Christ had come. Now who was that man? Man from Galilee, who made the lame to walk, and he caused the blind to see. He cleansed the spotted leper. He spoke with authority. He broke the chains of sin and set the captive free. He was so much man that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man. He wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man. He thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man. He died upon a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory. Now who was that man crying from the tree? Father, forgive them for what they've done to me. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. The stone held fast the door. He rose up from the grave. He lives forevermore. He was so much man that he slept in a boat. Yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man. He wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man. He thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man. He died upon a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory.
Is that it too? All right.
All right, Brother LeBeau's going to make his way up here to preach for you. While he does, let me just say one thing on his way here. I notice whenever Brother LeBeau's going up to the piano or coming down, it doesn't matter who's talking here, everybody's looking over there. And I'm going to say something about that because I don't think that's bad. I don't think that's wrong, but that's just what happens. There's some preachers that preach good messages, and I've heard them, you've heard them. There's some preachers that preach good messages, and they have a good testimony of the past, and the testimony itself is a great message. Paul is an example of that. And you have some men, I believe, like Brother LeBeau, where not only are they good preachers, not only do they have a testimony, but just visually seeing them preaches the message in itself of what he's overcome and his love for the Lord and what God's given him in his life and his steadfastness. Just watching him. That's what we do. We watch him. Everything he does, we watch him. He doesn't have to do anything to capture our attention. His life does that because of the way he is. And that's what God's given him. Brother LeBeau, we're ready to hear you preach.
Y'all sure have been gracious this week. We've enjoyed it. And I know the pastor, we always say the church takes on the personality of its pastor. And y'all are so gracious. So I don't know Brother Terry that well, but apparently he must be a very gracious person. There you go. There's his testimony. Amen. But it sure is good to be with you. I'm not a real long preacher, so don't worry. You will not get a doctor's degree when I get through with my messages. Genesis 49, make it easy on you, the first book of the Bible, but you have to be able to count to 49. Genesis 49 and verse 5 and 6. We appreciate my wife. We're on almost a month-long trip. We've never been out this long without going home and resting for a few days, but she has been so good. God's given me a good wife. Took me a long time to find the right wife. Every girl I brought home, my mother didn't approve of her. She's just either too tall, brought another one home. She's too short, brought another one home. She's too loud, brought another one home. She's too quiet, brought another girl home. She's too fat, brought another one home. She's too skinny. And so I said, I know what I'll do. I'll get one just like Mama. So I found this girl. She acted like Mama, talked like Mama, had the same personality as Mama. And Mama fell in love with her. But that one didn't work out either because my daddy hated her guts. So, I'm glad I finally found the right wife. All right, Genesis 49, verse 5 and 6, we'll compare Simeon and Levi with Joseph, what Joseph did with his wall and what Simeon and Levi did with their wall of disappointment and opposition that came in their lives, and how to turn all your walls into steps of victory. Genesis 49, verse 5 and 6, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty, are in their habitation. Verse 6, O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Notice what they did with their wall. They digged it down. In verse 22, talks about Joseph. This is Jacob giving his blessing upon his children. And he is saying to his children, are given the blessing, and he could not give much of a blessing to Simeon and Levi. If you know their life, I'll tell you about it in a minute. But verse 22, here's his blessing on Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. Now, the bough is like a grapevine, and the longer it grows, the more fruit it bears. Amen. By a well. Notice he was by a well whose branches run over the wall. Joseph went over his wall. Verse 23 shows you that he had enemies and wounds and walls. Verse 23, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, for this gracious, gracious church. Father, I pray you'd bless tonight the final service of the Revival Fires Conference. I pray you'd fill us with your spirit and your grace, your compassion as we speak. May every word be seasoned with grace. Give us wisdom and understanding. Illuminate my mind. Loose my stammering tongue. Speak through these lips of clay. I pray every heart would receive something tonight. And Lord, we'd just be set on fire, revived, and refreshed tonight by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice the wounds. Both of these brothers, all three of the brothers, had wounds. If you study Simeon and Levi, What happened is their sister Dinah was defiled by the prince of that land. He took her and defiled her. And so in revenge, they went out in their anger, their bitterness, they went out and they slew an entire city of men. They killed and murdered all the men, and then they stole their wives and children and possessions. So that's how they handled their wall and their anger and their bitterness. But Joseph had his heartaches. He had his walls, his opposition, his own brothers, rejected of his own family, sold into slavery, and then lied about by Potiphar's wife, put into prison for years. And yet you find everywhere you find Joseph, he's serving God. He's got an excellent attitude, a compassionate attitude. Everywhere he is serving God, and God was with him. God's favor was upon him, and he just got better and better when his brothers got bitter and more bitter. Amen? So you can handle your wounds. You can make your wounds can make you bitter or better. They say the scientists, when they study trees, they'll cut the tree down, they'll study the rings, and they say they can tell the weather report. They can give you a weather report for hundreds of years back, depending on how old that tree is. But they say the tree grows when there's a good rainy season. You see, the ring has much growth, and when there was a drought, there was very little growth. But the greatest growth came after the tree was wounded. When you see a knot in the wood, the tree was wounded, and that's when the greatest growth occurred. And God allows us to be afflicted sometimes. He allows a wound to come our way. It's good for me that thou hast afflicted me, so that I might learn thy word. Amen. And it makes us grow. When you have a wound, open the Bible and get in the Bible and find an answer. Find an answer. Amen. Opened the Bible this morning. There was an answer waiting on me. I just praise God. Hallelujah. The Word of God will cause you to grow. It is good for me. Sometimes God allows those wounds for us to grow. They were wounded. And then notice the well. Joseph tapped into a well. He had a well. I believe that's the well of grace. God's grace is sufficient, the Bible says, for your suffering, for every wound, for every heartache, God's grace is sufficient for your marriage, for your spouse, for your speech, for your strength, for your spending. There's grace for every need. Amen. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If we don't look diligently to the grace of God, put the grace of God on your prayer list. If there's an area you're angry, an area that you're bitter, an area you're struggling, ask God for more grace in that area. If we don't look diligently to the grace of God, the Bible says we'll get bitter instead of better. But the grace of God is a well, and all you can drink is there. It'll never run dry. And the Bible says Joseph dwelt by a well. Amen? Then notice the will. Two brothers were self-willed. I will. The devil said five times, I will, I will, I will. The will. This will is a stubborn, stubborn thing. I notice it in my life. Sometimes when I think, boy, I am really yielded to God. I think I'm yielded as much as I've ever been. He shows me five more areas I'm not yielded. Amen? I'm saying you really have to keep an eye on your will. Keep a monitor on your will. They were self-willed. They said, we'll do this our way. I think somebody wrote a song about that. I did it my way. Just check and see how carnal you are. Yeah, there's about half of you remember that one. But the will, Joseph said, Joseph was like Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. That's a hard prayer to pray when you're in a prison. Amen. When you're in a prison, when you're in slavery, but yet Joseph was yielded to the will of God. He knew after all this was over, he told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He understood God was working in the midst of all of his trials, in the midst of your heartache, that's when God is working. Amen. I almost made Brother Woodward mad last night. He was on his knees changing a flat tire, and he was hungry. He was ready to go eat, and I started singing, and we know all things work together for good. He said, shut up. But it's easy for us to sing that to somebody else, but what about in your situation? We know all things work together for good. Still in the Bible. Amen. The will. These two brothers were self-willed. They were self-willed. Joseph said, thy will. Then notice the wall. Two brothers tried to dig their wall down, but Joseph grew over his wall. There's three roads you can take in life. The high road is when you treat people better than they treat you. The middle road is reactive, when you treat people exactly the same as they treat you. And then there's the low road, when you treat people worse than they treat you. And Joseph chose the high road. That's proactive. That means I'll be prepared to bless those that curse me. And then the middle road is the reactive road, but they took the radioactive road. Amen? They were a demolition crew. They were destroying this wall. They said, we'll dig it down. And as you are slinging mud, you're losing ground. And if we start slinging mud, we just get more dishonorable, more dishonorable. The most dishonorable people that you can think of are people that said, well, we'll take care of this problem in our own strength and our own will. We'll dig down this wall. No matter what it takes, we'll sling mud and we'll hurt people. Amen. They're the most dishonorable. The most honorable people are the ones that said, I'll treat you better than you treat me. And here they tried to dig down their wall. But you know what? Study the great walls of the world. The Wall of China was one of the greatest walls in the world, most famous walls. But to Genghis Khan, it looked like a step to victory. It didn't look like a wall, it looked like a step. And he stepped over the wall and became the ruler of China. And you better thank God, because there would be no Mongolian beef today in the Chinese restaurants. Just be noodles and poodles, sweet and sour chihuahua, peppered shepherd, and Kung Pao cat. But thank God he stepped over the wall, the Berlin Wall, the great Iron Curtain. The wall of Berlin looked like to the communists, it represented communism, oppression, and death to the world. But to America, it represented victory. It looked like a step. When one day our president said, tear down that wall. Amen. I talked to a man the other day that was there, and he went with a hammer in his hand, and he knocked, began to chip down that wall, knock it down. And what I'm saying is you can turn your walls into steps. You can look at your walls as walls, or you can look at your walls as a step to victory, to step higher. Turn to Psalm 120, and I'll give you maybe four of these tonight. There's 14 or 15 of these psalms. Psalm 120 is a psalm of degrees through Psalm 134, I believe it is. But as they sang these songs, or these psalms, they would the choir would step on the stand on the first step of the temple, and then they would sing 121 and step up to the second step. They'd sing 122, step up to the third step, and sing these psalms in degrees. That's why they called them psalms of degrees. They would step up each time. So we'll look at a few of these, just one verse out of a few of these, and see how we can turn our walls into steps. A wall of distress or a step of deliverance. Distress comes with one phone call sometimes. Distress comes with a bill. When you have a bill that you didn't know about. Amen? Distress comes, but look what the psalmist said. Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. That reminds me of David when he came home and his city, Ziklag, was burned to the ground. His wife, his children, his possessions were gone. All 600 men, they lost everything. And they all wept till there was no more strength in them. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know what he did? He cried out unto God, just like this psalm said. He cried out and said, "Shall I recover all?" And God said, "Go, you shall recover all." Not only did he recover all, he did not lose one thing, but he recovered not only that, but he was made rich through the battle. And God gave him the riches of the Amalekites. He was made rich through the battle when he cried out to God. God can turn your distress into a wall or a step of deliverance. Your wall of distress into a step of deliverance. The other day we had this happen before, so it didn't really tear us up too bad, but we were in North Carolina, and they called us, the hotel called and said, "Do y'all have a silver Tahoe?" And they said, "There's two windows busted out of it." So somebody during the night had busted the windows out and stole a few things out of it, an old computer and a coat of mine, several things. And we thought, you know, we've been through this before. God will turn it into a blessing somehow. In just a few hours, there was an insurance salesman that was at the radio station where we were working. He gave us a check for $250, and he made all the arrangements for them to put the windows back in it. He paid the deduction and put the windows back in it for us. And then people began to give us money. A church gave us a couple of hundred dollars, and radio station took up a couple of hundred dollars to pay the deductible to get everything else paid for. And we kept saying, "Well, look, the insurance is going to pay for this. Do you want this money back?" "No, just keep it." And people began to give us money. And I needed a little bit of extra money to start on my new CD. And God said, "Here it is." He turned our wall of distress within a few hours to a step of deliverance. Amen. He can turn it around. He can turn your walls into steps. Look at Psalm 121, a wall of hopelessness. Are you facing a wall of hopelessness? He'll turn it into a step of help. Psalm 121, verse 1, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." He is the one that can help us. "Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Amen. Where is your help? Where are you looking for help? He's the one that can help us. This verse jumped out at me. We were at a conference, a long all-day missions conference, day and night, long, all for Monday through Thursday. We were exhausted, and this verse jumped out at me, and I thought, when I get tired, I'm gonna sing this in my heart or quote it. I'll just quote this verse. "I will lift up mine eyes," and God seemed to strengthen me. When that was over, we went to another church, and the pastor wasn't there. It's a good church. Good pastor, but he was not there. He was at a retreat. And they said, "You're staying in this old house beside the church." So we went in there. It was 30 degrees outside, 30 degrees inside. And they had one little heater about this big to heat the whole place where we were staying. And I always check the hot water to make sure Sunday morning you don't want to jump into a cold shower. And there was no hot water. And so we didn't know what to do. We started praying, quoting this verse, "Help, Lord, if we go out and get a hotel room, we'll hurt their feelings and our checkbook." So we kept praying. What do we do? The man came over and he started to work on the buses. And I said, "You know, we don't have any hot water." He said, "Oh, That hot water's going out again. Let me run down to the store and get a match. And I really started praying then. Amen. All I could imagine was a house blowing up. And he actually said, anybody got a match? And I didn't give him my match. Amen. I let him run down to the store. But he went down to the store. Another man came in. He said, let me check that hot water heater. And he went down and looked at it. And the whole basement was underwater. He said, we've had a flood this week. It's underwater. We're going to have to put y'all in a hotel. And he kept apologizing. And I was full of grace. Grace was oozing out of me. I said, really, it's okay. Don't feel bad. Amen. But I'm saying God can turn your wall of hopelessness into a step of help when you cry out unto Him. I'll give you another one over here in Psalm 125. A wall of opposition or a step of opportunity. 126, excuse me, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Have you ever noticed when you get in the ministry, all of a sudden there's tears and there's a change of plans and there's things that you do not understand? It looks like walls of opposition that have sprung up in front of you. It looks like the end. I remember when I was first called to preach, my pastor told me, you're going to be a pastor. And I met Lee Robertson one time and he said, you're going to be an evangelist. Just memorize 100 outlines. And I said, well, you know, Brother Robertson, I really ought to pray about it. See what God wants. Amen. No, I didn't tell him that. But I did, and he was right. God did call me into evangelism. But when I first was called to preach, I remember a church trouble like we'd never experienced before. And in the midst of that turmoil, it looked like the end of my ministry. And God said, no, it's not the end. And a church down the road called and wanted us to be on staff, and we bore much fruit at that church. God said, this is not an opposition. This is a step of opportunity. Step up over the wall. Change of plans. Amen. And not long after that, more opposition came and God called me into evangelism. A great step of opportunity. What looked like a wall, what looked like the end, sometimes is just the beginning. And more opposition came and looks like the end, and God opened Mexico and Canada to us. And then more opposition came. God opened the overseas ministry to us, called us to do overseas work. We go overseas a couple of times a year. And every time what looks like a wall of opposition, look up, God is just letting you grow a little higher, a little higher. Joseph went over the wall, remember? He went over the wall. He was a fruitful bough. And every time opposition comes, you can get a little higher and go a little higher. I love to read Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 9 through the end of the chapter. It talks about He stands behind our wall. He's standing behind your wall and He's watching you through the window. And then it says He shows Himself through the lattice. The lattice is what in overseas they cover their sidewalks with little shelters, little covers, and they put lattice on top of there. And that's where they grow their grapevines. And the longer and the more lattice there is, the longer the grapevine grows, the more fruit they bear. And He says He shows Himself through the lattice. In other words, when you say, God, will you get me over this wall of distress, of opposition, this wall of hopelessness, this wall of sorrow, this wall of suffering, if you'll get me over this wall, He says, okay, I'll help you over it. He's watching us to see, are you going to try to dynamite the wall, spit on the wall, cuss the wall, kick the wall, dig down the wall? Or are you going to say, God, give me grace to go over the wall? You know what to do when you're facing a wall? Tap into the well, go over the wall, and do the will of God. Is there a wall in your life tonight? I could go on and give you more, but I think I'll just stop here. Is there a wall that you're facing? I've got good news for you. There's grace. He said, come away. Come away with me, my love, my dove will fly away. He'll fly you so high over that wall, it'll look like a little dot. Amen. The walls of opposition. Turn your walls into steps of victory. Amen. Maybe there's a wall of sin in your life that you can't get over. Guess what? There's grace for that too. There's grace. He'll take the most vile, wretched sinner that's done the most vile things that everybody's given up. The rehab program has given up. Rehabilitation can't do anything with him. Prison can't do anything with him. That's the one he takes by his amazing grace. and make something out of those people. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Are you facing a wall? There's grace. There's all the grace that you need. All the grace that you need tonight. Tap into the well. Go over the wall and do the will of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We ask you to bless these next few minutes as the altars are opened. I pray, Father, many walls of opposition facing us tonight. I pray you'd give us grace. As the psalmist said, by my God have I leaped over a wall. Help us to leap over our walls tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, with head bowed and eyes closed, we'll go ahead and get ready for our invitation. What a great message. What a good conference we've had. A lot of decisions have been made. A lot of folks have come forward. A lot of things have happened in our hearts. This is the final service. Whether the message tonight or something that God's already spoken to your heart about, it's a good time to come to the altar. Get it taken care of. Get some help from God. I love that illustration. I'll not forget that for a long time. About the motel, the flood. But it all started when they prayed and asked for help. Maybe you need to do that tonight at the altar. Let's all stand. Music will play. If you need to come, you come now.